The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
What I know for sure is that speaking your truth is the most powerful tool we all have.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Oprah Winfrey. And as you know, it's that time of year again, the time when parents head out to colleges. Their kids have spent, you know, 4 years, thousands of dollars, right, to get what passes as a higher education in our day and age. When they get there, you know, they get into this huge auditorium, or maybe it's outside, depending where you are, and commencement exercises are held. You have to sit through the inevitable, the long processions, the names, and ultimately the commencement speeches. And I've had five kids graduate from college, so I've heard some great commencement speeches. I heard some horrible ones as well. But the speech is usually given by somebody with some kind of fame, right? You bring in somebody who's popular and supposedly to impart whatever pearls of wisdom the person's supposed to have, you know, they've acquired in life and they want to pass on to the next generation. These days, we're not hearing a whole lot of wisdom. Instead, we're getting a lot of leftist propaganda. There's a conservative group called Young American Foundation, or Young America's Foundation, and they took a look. They actually analyzed speakers at the top 100 schools, and these were ranked by U.S. News and World Report every year. They found this year, now I'll give you some basic numbers here, and these numbers vary a little bit. They found that there were 37 speeches given by liberals and one counted, okay? One speech given by a conservative. 37-1. Now, I'm not sure what happened to the 62 other schools on the list, but maybe COVID had something to do with it. But, my next guest will be joining me in a minute, Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He and I were just talking about it. I said, you know, this is so reflective of the ideology on those campuses. You bring in somebody who mirrors what you believe, and you can see these radical liberal speeches, you know, giving the kids a pat on the backside saying, get into the world. Here's my advice for you. I think it's tragic. Jake, you pulled some audio of some speeches. Is that what you did?
Yeah, you ready for a little game here, Drew?
Oh, you're going to challenge me. All right.
I'm going to put you on the hot seat here.
Let's do this.
All right. So, I have different clips, shorter clips of different commencement speeches that have been given in the past.
Okay.
I think only maybe one or two is of recent time. But I want you to guess if the person giving the speech, now I know you may not be able to know who they are necessarily.
I'll try.
At least guess if they're conservative or a liberal.
Okay.
I think it's going to be pretty obvious for most of these.
I hope. I'm not good at games.
Here's the first one. Guess if this person who is speaking at a commencement speech is liberal or conservative.
I encourage you today to choose the third option, to be clear-eyed optimists. To see that building technology that supports equality, democracy, truth, and kindness means looking around corners and throwing up every possible roadblock against hate and violence and deception.
I think they got a couple of those buzzwords down. Did you notice the word equality?
Yeah, equality was in there. So that makes me think that it's a liberal speech because of this. Because it wasn't so bad what she said.
No.
I wanted to say it was AOC, but I don't think that's right.
No, it was not AOC.
Who was that?
So that was Sheryl Sandberg. She's the chief operating officer of the Facebook.com.
There you go.
Yeah, well, she also threw in the word hate, too. So that was kind of a dead giveaway as well. Here's another one. Guessing if the person giving this graduation speech is progressive or conservative.
Guys, take a break. You don't have to pay attention during this part. Maybe you spend the next 30 seconds thinking about all the extra money you'll make in your life for doing the same job as a woman. Pretty sweet. Hey, girls, we need to do a better job of supporting each other. Wouldn't it be better if we worked together to dismantle a system that makes us feel like there's limited room for us? Because when women work together, we can accomplish anything.
You know that one.
They all sound alike. That sounds terrible.
You're talking about like the person
that sounds misogynistic. Was that AOC? Who was that?
You really want AOC?
I do.
I'm not under the impression that AOC has ever given a graduation speech, but I could be wrong.
Who was that?
So that was Mindy Kaling. She's an actress. She's on The Mindy Project.
I don't know if you've ever watched that show. Absolutely.
Yep. So she said, guys, stop listening. Just speaking to the women here.
That's so funny.
Yeah. All right, Drew.
I've told you.
I can guarantee you this one, Drew. It's not AOC.
All right, good.
You know who it is.
And when I came to Yale, I was one of 27 women out of 235
you know that voice.
Law students. It was the first year women were admitted to the college. And as that first class of women prepared to graduate 4 years later, the New York Times reported on Yale's foray into co-education, noting that the women, quote, worked harder and got somewhat better grades than the 940 men graduating with them, a fact, they went on to say, that some of the men apparently found threatening. Well, I was shocked.
It's a lot of commencement speeches about just women, huh?
Yeah, that's the most conservative politician that I know that's out there.
A little bit more conservative than AOC.
The former presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, how interesting.
Want one more?
Yeah, why not?
I have often asked if I ever imagined as a child being on the Supreme Court, the highest court of the United States. No, I say. When I was a child, my family was poor. No lawyer or judges lived in my neighborhood. You cannot dream of becoming something you do not know about. You have to learn to dream big.
I do like that one. Do you know who that is?
Supreme Court Justice.
Right, so that narrows it down.
It's not Sotomayor.
You sure?
Is it? All right, Sotomayor.
You think it is?
Yeah, it is.
Don't just go with Patrick's nodding of the head there.
I'm going with it.
You got it. That was right.
I thought so.
Yeah, and she's one of the liberal Supreme Court justices. One more. This is kind of a tricky one here.
If I'm going to fall, I don't want to fall back on anything except my faith.
Wow.
I want to fall forward. Thomas Edison conducted 1,000 failed experiments. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Because the 1,001st was the light bulb. Fall forward.
I love his delivery. Great actor, Denzel Washington.
Yes, you nailed it.
Yeah, no, that's...
Because I was talking to Patrick about this earlier today, and I was like, is Denzel Washington conservative? And we both agreed on...
That was a great speech.
That
line you played was awesome.
Well, the really cool thing is, I don't think from... And at least Patrick and I have been looking into this. I really don't think that he's like a staunch liberal or a staunch conservative. He has said things in the past that, you know, he's kind of spoken against some of the woke ideology that we've seen in recent time. And he said things that conservatives like to hear. And, you know, sometimes liberals have scratched their heads based off of this comment. So I don't know what he is exactly, but I know that he's not afraid to go against the grain.
I tend to think there are probably more conservative Hollywood, more conservatives there than you know, let people know, you know.
In Hollywood?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think Hollywood tends to be liberal, but I think there are a lot of actors there who you just can't come out.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. It could be that, you know, especially the people who aren't necessarily actors or actresses, but more just people trying to get into Hollywood that have more conservative views, too.
That's interesting. All right, well, let me bring in the conversation Dr. Bill Thierfelder, who's the president of Belmont Abbey College. It's a wonderful Benedictine Liberal Arts College in Belmont, North Carolina. A good friend of mine sent his daughter there for 4 years. Great education. And he has delivered, I mean, hundreds of presentations on topics related to Catholicism and athletic performance and sports and virtue and medicines and, you know, sports psychology. You go down the litany of different issues. You can find this great institution online at bac.edu. All right. Easy to remember, right? Belmont Abbey College, bac.edu. And he's written a great book. He's a former Olympian, and it's always good to have him back with us. Your book title again, Doctor, I'm trying to pull from my memory, Less Than a Minute to Go. Is that the title of it?
Drew, you got it down. You're so good.
All right.
It's been a while since I've been on with you, but it's great to be back.
It's always good to have you. I'm grateful. And we were talking about this issue this morning when I was thinking of all these commencement speeches. And I saw other numbers, too, just showing how liberal so many of the commencement speeches are versus conservative versus independent, where they'd have a smaller portion of people who aren't even political coming on. I'm curious, first, who you had this year as your commencement speaker. Who did Belmont Abbey College choose?
Abbott Placid Solari.
Wow.
We do not invite a commencement speaker. We have a mass, and on the homily is the baccalaureate homily. So if you want to hear an address, it's going to be your homily.
Wow.
That's how we do it, and I found that it works remarkably well because, one, it emphasizes the essence – and the importance of, you know, who we are, what our lives are about, what we all hope to where we all hope to be headed. So to begin with Mass, and that reflection is the best way to start.
My guest today is Dr. Bill Thierfelder, and we're talking about liberal and conservative commencement speeches as we were at this time of year. The whole commencement speech, let's talk about what the purpose of that, I'm assuming, is to give the students one final pearl of wisdom and send them off into the world, right? How effective do you think it is?
Well, you bring up kind of the essence of the whole thing, right? So from my standpoint, the focus should be on the students, not the celebrity speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we've not well-educated, well-formed, and well-prepared our students in 4 years, a 20-minute speech by a celebrity who has little understanding about seeking objective truth and pursuing authentic love is not going to do it. So for our standpoint, I just, at the very least, if you're going to have a commencement speaker, that it's at least someone who reflects the mission, the vision, the work of the institution, as opposed to, hey, is this person got a lot of money or a lot of fame or a lot of, you know, whatever, power, and that's why we have them in. And as we all know, I mean, just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you have something to say.
Yeah, and you have to take a look at who they choose, too. You and I were talking before you came to air. I mean, I looked at this Young America's Foundation, a conservative group that analyzed speakers at the top 100 schools, and they found 37-1 was the number this year that gave liberal speeches versus conservative speeches. And it really is a reflection of the ideology or the philosophy of the faculty and the institution itself. What do the speakers say, in terms of, how do they reflect the institution itself?
Well, you come back to what we're all made for. I mean, I mentioned already, objective truth and authentic love. I mean, those are the two things every human being's made for. It's what we all want, whether we know it or not, or whether we talk about it. That's what we're looking for. And so you hope that a speaker is, in a sense, going to reinforce, because hopefully that's what the education has been about. But as we all know, today it's become very utilitarian and materialistic, and it's more about checking off a box and getting a piece of paper rather than be able to think well. Which is hopefully what a liberal arts education is supposed to prepare you to do, is to think and analyze and be critical, and not, I don't mean that in a negative way, but to be able to analyze information and articulate your ideas well, write extraordinarily well. That's what that education was supposed to be about, and you hope that this culmination, which is now this commencement exercise, is reflecting, what they received over those 4 years, and if anything, hopefully inspiring them to see that, hey, someone like me who sat here, some 20 years ago or whatever, however old the speaker was, I can see, wow, look what they've been able to do with what I've received, in a way. I mean, that would be the great message to come away from it, and maybe to gain some greater insights than they've gotten to that point in time.
As a university president now, I'm curious, you've been to a lot of commencement speeches, not just at your own college, but, throughout the years. Any one message or any person ever resonate really with you? Any message you thought, wow, that was great?
We've just had some, it's more going to be clergy, so
yeah.
It's going to be bishops.
That's great.
Or cardinals, have come in. And I think when it's tied to the more foundational things about life, those that to me has some meaning. Having a comedian on or something, it's kind of trendy and it's, hey, that's really fun. But I don't know. To me, it's spending an awful lot of money to have somebody come in to deliver a message that, again, doesn't really reflect what you hope for your students, at least not what we would hope for our students.
So on another note, outside of convention speech, there are a number of schools right now that are teaching things like critical race theory. And to me, that's really scary. Some of the things that are being promoted. Faithful Catholics, faithful schools like yours, good Catholic schools like yours, I mean, they're hard to come by. How do you view this? Is this a David versus Goliath type of thing? I mean, it seems that conservative schools, Catholic schools, we're outnumbered by these other institutions and what's ultimately being taught. And, I don't know. I hope parents will really consider sending their kids to a good Catholic institution or one that will well-form their kids. Although I've heard from, I remember when my kids were going to college, I had lunch with a guy who was getting ready to send his daughter to college. And he says he wanted to send him to a Catholic school. I won't mention the name of a Catholic university.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm just afraid they're going to lose the faith, because a lot of kids go to these Catholic schools and lose the faith. So I don't want to act like the Catholic schools are the the be-all, because there's some that you think, my gosh, what are you doing having this person in? Or why are you covering up crucifixes? Or why, you know, there's all these different situations. I'd love your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, I sometimes I won't mention names of institutions, but they're sometimes described as public schools in a Catholic neighborhood, meaning they have the trapping symbolism and maybe even some activities that reflect the Catholic faith. And yet, from an institutional standpoint, they're really trying to be the leading secular research university in the world, you know, so that's what's important to them. And that's what they emphasize. And that's why you'll see at times, you know, you don't even have a majority of Catholics teaching on your faculty. So, and by the way, I don't look at somebody and say, hey, do you have a baptismal certificate that says you're Catholic? Okay, so that's good to come here teach. I'm looking for somebody who actually lives it and would live it no matter where they were, because they love it. And they also have the ability to, again, express that and to share that with others. I mean, you can't give what you don't have. And so you hope they have that. But, you know, so a lot of institutions, and again, I don't want to get into, you know, naming names. I'll just say you're right. I mean, some of them, in my mind, have some very good things, but they've done some things that I think are just completely off. And it goes back to this idea. You started off with, you know, the critical race theory or these other terms. I think what we have to try to avoid is having a discussion using a new terminology or phrasing or lexicon that's been given to us to say, now with this lexicon, let's have a discussion. Like, no, let's start with what's objectively true. We don't need to make stuff up. In other words, sins, with most of the stuff, I don't treat somebody well. We already got a name for it. It's called sin. So we know where this is all coming from. And I basically have three pillars that we approach any, whether we're talking about racial issues or gender or anything else for that matter. And it's, you know, first and foremost, we are created by God and made in his image and therefore deserving of human dignity. Because you can ask yourself first from a, you know, why is racism wrong?
Right.
And you can't just tell me it's about power. You know, whoever has the most power determines it. No, it's wrong because we're made in God's image and likeness. That's why it's wrong. And if, by the way, if you don't believe in God, then really I don't think you have much of a case to say why it's wrong. Second, we are called to seek objective truth and upon finding it, live in response to it. And then thirdly, we're called to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as Christ loved us. Those are the three ways that we should approach anything. And I think if you thought about it, like just take a topic of racism. If those three things are how you're approaching it, we should be able to deal with anything. We should be able to make things much better if that's our basis for our understanding and our discussion. But to come up with a whole new terminology that, to be honest with you, are coming from this whole secular atheistic, you know, culture that's attacking us right now, you've already given up. I mean, you've put yourself in almost an indefensible position, and you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's a great point. My guest today, Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He's the president of Belmont Abbey College. You should check them out. I have a few moments. We'll grab a couple calls here before we run out of time. We'll start in New York. Kelly, thanks for...
My son had graduated from graduate school as a physical therapist with a doctorate of physical therapy. And at his graduation, they had the speaker was Cecile Richards.
Oh, man.
Who was with Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And I had felt very offended that here I wanted to attend my son's graduation, and this is the type of speaker that they had. And, of course, she did direct it towards females mostly.
Yeah.
But I was offended because I am a Catholic, and that they had somebody from Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kelly. I'm sorry you had to go through that and listen to that. Pray for Cecile. She certainly needs our prayers. And, you know, Kelly brings up, I think, an interesting dilemma. I mean, you know, depending on who you bring in, you can really offend a lot of people. She's a very polarizing, you know, speaker, to say the least. And I think that should be considered. But again, you have to be careful in these institutions of higher education. You know, speeches and philosophy is something that we cherish, and we want to have the freedom to espouse ideas and exchange ideas and discuss ideas. But yeah, at a graduation ceremony to have somebody like that, I don't know. Your thoughts on that? Because at the same time, we may not like a particular speaker or their ideology, but I don't know how you draw a middle ground. You're never going to please everybody.
No, you're not. And I would say, again, what we said earlier, you know, like you used the analogy of the mirror, you know, the mirror reflects who you are, mm-hmm. right? So you're going to tend to have a speaker who reflects your beliefs and what you think. I think that's why you have to look at every institution and say, what do they stand for? What is the mission of the college or university? And you can't just look at, hey, what's their academic reputation, or do people come out and get like super high paying jobs? I mean, people get super high paying jobs coming out of Belmont Abbey College, you know, but so you got to be careful you don't get caught up on the wrong measuring stick, if
that's
you will,
right.
and that you're looking at really what the essence is. And the other point I'd make is, you know, supposedly all colleges and universities are supposed to be open to the truth. I mean, that's what we're all supposed to be seeking.
Amen.
And so we should be able to, by the way, have a discussion about anything. I mean, we should be able to discuss abortion or same-sex marriage. I mean, those shouldn't be, you know, off topics or so. We should be able to talk about them. And that's why we give them faith and reason, right? Yeah. I mean, our ability to discuss these things. But I would say that very often that's not the case. You know, you talk about diversity, you're only allowed to be diverse in the way they want you to be diverse, which doesn't make it very diverse, right? So it's from a Catholic perspective, we would be shunned. I mean, very often we're labeled as, you know, some kind of, I don't know, pariahs of some kind because we don't accept same-sex marriage or something else, instead of, well, why can't we have an open dialogue about it? Why can't I give you my reason or rationale behind why I'm saying what I'm saying? I mean, it comes from something. I'm not just making up rules.
Right.
They come to us from the church, and the church has it based on some very sound reasoning, which ultimately leads to our happiness, and we should be able to talk about those things.
Yeah, as well said. My guest, Dr. Bill Thierfelder. Doctor, I have about a minute left. Let me sneak another call in here. Monica's listening in Lodi, Wisconsin. Hey, Monica, you got to make it kind of quick, but good afternoon.
Absolutely. I just want to say that, you know, those liberal Catholic colleges are more dangerous than the secular institutions. They take the truth and they twist it. Mm. So they have kids believing you can be Catholic and gay, like, you know, practicing homosexuality. You can be Catholic and pro-choice. They really twist it so that they end up thinking they're the superior Catholics because of social justice. People should be very careful with Catholic schools. They need to investigate them.
Well said, Monica. Thank you. And it's really true, Doctor. I mean, I would hate to send my kids to a Catholic school and think this is what the Catholic Church teaches. I'm going to give you final thoughts because I have a moment left here for you. I'll let you respond to Monica.
Well, Monica brings up a great point, and it's about not being hypocrites, right? So we need to stand up for what we stand for. I encourage all parents, obviously, and the students, obviously, to research the place they're going to and say, well, give me reason for your hope. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, why do you believe what you believe? What do you say you believe? And how do you live that out? Not just what do you say, but how do you live it out? And, you know, buyer beware, you know, if you go someplace just because it has a name, and I agree with her too, it can be very deceptive, especially if it has a label of Catholic and is not trying to live out the teachings of the Catholic Church.
Well, Bishop Robert Barron, who, of course, is a brilliant intellect, gave a commencement speech, and in his speech, he talked about the value of Catholic education. Let me leave you with this.
If we define our values, our own truth, our own purpose, we effectively lock ourselves into the tiny space of what we can imagine and control. When we follow these prompts of our culture today, we become cramped souls, what the medieval philosophers called pusille anime. That means little souls. The entire point of a Catholic intellectual formation is to produce magne anime. That means great souls. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Now we can see the point of a Catholic education: to beguile you with the objective values, epistemic, aesthetic, and moral, that exist in the world, and that direct you finally to the divine source of those values. Once you understand this, you're ready for spiritual adventure.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
But I would argue that critical race theory is itself racist because it argues that white people have a property interest in their whiteness.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was Dr. Carol Swain, another great contributor on the program. We were talking critical race theory with her not too long ago. That's another, another creeping threat into our educational system. And you're seeing it at the higher levels of education, but what's happening in college classrooms for a number of years, and you probably are seeing this now in your high schools and in your elementary schools. I mean, it's filtering down. And it seems the parents are finally getting fed up with it. I saw a story, I think it was last week. There was a story in South Lake, Texas. It's a suburb about 30 miles northwest of Dallas. Voters earlier this month, they went in, they ousted school board members who were trying to foist this whole critical race theory onto their children's schools. And the parents are like, enough's enough, all right? It was a resounding defeat of 70 to 30. The mainstream media, they could not believe it happened. And I know you probably have seen this story. There was out of Loudoun County, Virginia, and this is, I can't even really share with you. Oh, man, what's being taught to these kids? I mean, Jake would be on the dump button the entire time. You know, it'd be crazy. You'd hear a constant beep coming across the airways here. Parents lined up for a school board meeting, and they had a little bit of a different agenda. I mean, they were trying to get the school to change their sex education curriculum, right? Part of the problem is that it's implemented in every single grade. You know, it's not at a certain grade level. It's every grade. So, you know, I don't know, when you went to school or when I went to school, you had a few glasses. Maybe when you got to high school, maybe 10th grade, you had something like that. Now they're pushing it K through 12, right? And not just high school, but K through 12. So what kids were being taught, parents were outraged by it. And they lined up to read sections of the material that were given to their kids for class. And the school board members were apparently pretty embarrassed by what they heard. And I love one parent says, if this makes you feel uncomfortable, how do you think my kids, you know, feel hearing this? Yeah, and honestly, I would love to share with you what was said and bleep out, but it's too graphic for me to even try to dance around. Jake, I think, is going to play a little bit of audio for you right now. And the audio that he chose comes from Tucker Carlson. He compiled some of it. It's pretty heavily edited, to be honest with you. Jake, you had to do some magic, didn't you? You had to dance around
well,
this?
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that the parents read that I left in the clip is pretty much the mild stuff that we could get away with. But, yeah, like, I mean, of course, like, Fox News, Tucker Carlson included a lot more, but we can't hear.
So. Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, I couldn't. I mean, this is just way too graphic, even not using.
Yeah, and frankly, I don't think
the
FCC
ban works.
Yeah, we don't even need to know. It's just the fact is it's bad. So.
Well, let's share. Here's part of what was presented. Listen.
If you want to talk about books that are assigned, let's read To Kill a Mockingbird together. If you aren't willing to consider the racial trauma this assigned book causes black children with its white saviorism, then you have no business discussing any books.
So if you don't consider To Kill a Mockingbird racist, says Andrea Weisskopf, then, quote, you have no business discussing any books. The scariest part is they're telling your kids the exact same thing all day, every day in school. So what effect is that having on your kids, on all of our kids, on the country itself? Well, over time, the effect is unimaginable. For the last year, most parents have put up with this. Either they didn't know it was happening or they felt powerless to stop it from happening. They were afraid to object, to speak up, as lunatics like Andrea Weisskopf hurt their children. But that's changing, finally. Some parents have had enough of this. Watch this mother at this week's Loudoun County School Board meeting.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Let me educate you. An honest dialogue does not oppress. An honest dialogue does not implement hatred or injustice. It's to communicate without deceiving people. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action and a backbone for what we ask for today, to ban CRT. I had to come down here today to tell you to your face that we are coming together and we are strong. This will not be the last. Greet and meet, respectfully.
Oh, yeah. The woman you just saw is called Chantel Cooper, and she deserves an award. It's lunacy. The stuff is everywhere. Have you ever taken a look at the books that your kids are being assigned in school? Have you actually read them? Parents in Loudoun County actually did read them. And one mother had the temerity to read portions of those books aloud at the Loudoun County School Board meeting. Watch.
Her top lip curled up. Wait a minute, is that what's really going on?
It's okay, it's cool. This is what girls do at parties, I told myself and kept dancing with the boy. I couldn't see the alcohol making my waist wind faster. If this is inappropriate for me to read to you, this is inappropriate for our children.
All right, and honestly, what you have just got was the sanitized, sterilized, edited
down. The protecting our jobs
version.
So.
Yeah, protecting our job
version. Yeah, let's call it that, Drew.
You go online yourself and check that stuff out. I mean, honestly, it was so graphic, it was mind-boggling. And I'm thinking, thank God my kids are out of school right now, because if they were in grade school and they're being read some of the stuff, I mean, it's hard. I just want to say so badly when I just want to tell you, what's being said, but I can't. It's crazy. So look, let's talk about it a little bit. If you've had experience this in school, I'd love to hear from you. The number here is 888-914-9149. But I'm delighted that parents are now taking a stand. They're saying enough is enough. This is vile. And we're getting ready to kill a mockingbird, right? But we're teaching our kids, we're reading to our kids stuff that would disturb somebody who is in college. I mean, it's crazy. Dr. Teresa Farnan, she's an author and she's a moral philosopher. She specializes in virtue ethics and moral education and philosophy of the person. We've had her on many times in the past. We've talked about gender and sexuality and ethical issues. They developed a website. I want to give you a resource because you often hear this. And rather than just curse the darkness, I want to light a candle, okay? I want to pierce the darkness. There's a great website. It's called Person and Identity, okay? You can find them online at personandidentity.com. It's the Person and Identity Project, okay? Check it out. Great resources. It will equip you if you are in a Catholic diocese or school or parish. It's going to give you information as parents. It's going to give you resources on everything from gender ideology to Christian anthropology. So, again, personandidentity.com. I want to put that on your radar. Dr. Farnan was with me in the past. We talked about her book, too, Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Kids from Public Schools Before It's Too Late. She's back once again. We'll take your calls, too. You can join me in these final minutes of the program. It's always good to talk with you. But, Doctor, I am delighted to have you here. Good afternoon.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. And, I'm sorry to say we published our book in 2018, but my goodness, in the last 2 years, we've been so vindicated. Yeah. We were sort of like the things that we exposed, nobody would have believed. And now it's out here in the open. And I want to just point out a couple of things about this story. Number one, in the past, parents have thought that they could just keep their kids in the public school and pull them out of sex education. The books that are being discussed by these parents in Loudoun County who are heroes, in my opinion, these books are in the English curriculum. So, and they were put onto they were not on the curriculum that was sent to the parents. They were put on after the fact. And so what we have here is we have an insidious effort to push curriculum materials into your children's hands without you knowing it. And lest you think that I'm just some kind of conspiracy theorist, this was unearthed in a Twitter exchange back in August of 2020 as educators were getting ready to do online schooling, and they lamented publicly that they would not be able to destabilize children's internal senses of racism, homophobia, their traditional values, because their parents were watching.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
And there was a long exchange about how to get around the parents. What do you do? People send online surveys. They have private messaging chats. I mean, you would not believe it, but it was so blatant. Yeah. And it never occurred to them that it was a gross violation of the parent-child relationship. So in my opinion, these parents are heroic. Yeah. I salute their coordination, the fact that they got together. You have to do it because these school board meetings, if you've ever been to one, it's a total farce because you have You have, they time your 3 minutes and they will cut the mic. They cut the mic if they don't like what you're saying. They cut the mic if you go over. They cut the mic, you know, for all kinds of things. So kudos to these parents. We need to see more of that because the left is deadly serious about indoctrinating your children, and we need to be equally serious about opposing it.
And I think you bring up such a wonderful point. You know, we often said, hey, a lot of this happened at the higher levels of education, normally in our university systems across the country. But as you and I have talked about in the past, and as we're seeing so clearly today, this is happening in grade school. And you're right. This is literature. This is literature. Mm-hmm. They're throwing out classics, right? And they are reading the kids stuff I can't even say on the air here. This is a clear effort to not only indoctrinate, but to subvert, you know, the parents, and they want to find a way to get around it. It's something I think everybody needs to be aware of. I just, you know, and I want to be fair here, though, too. Not every school does this. How prevalent, you know, is this in school systems across the country? Is this an anomaly? You know, is Loudoun County just a rare case? Because it's so extreme in this county. I was shocked when I heard what they were teaching these kids. Or is this percolating, you know, in you know, K through 9, you know, classes or K through 12 classes all across the country?
You know what? This is the norm. And what's rare about it is that the parents in Loudoun County, who probably pay pretty substantial taxes, it's one of the richest counties in the country, felt outraged enough to try to do something about it. But most parents are too intimidated to speak up. I mean, in Philadelphia, they are conducting, you know, critical race theory indoctrinations with children in the school auditorium in the public schools. I mean, in Seattle, if you've ever looked at the FLASH curriculum, their comprehensive sex education curriculum, it's appalling. I mean, it's like this, but worse. In Chicago, they have, you know, at some of these schools, the nurses from the school clinic walk the halls pulling kids out for their STD tests, and they'll give them the test and the results without ever looping their parents in.
Oh my gosh.
So this is the norm rather than the exception, and I'm sorry to say that, but especially with all the gender ideology, your kids are learning a new vocabulary. They are being taught that any kind of opposition, whether it's even being slightly doubtful about the critical race theory that's being pushed into the classroom, or it's, you know, whether your child is one of the kids who's holding on to, you know, their understanding of marriage is between a man or a woman, or is slightly dubious about the proposal that a boy can turn into a girl or vice versa, that child is going to be marginalized, and they are going to work on them to get them to accept this new orthodoxy. We have religious public schools. It's just, it's a religion that is a secular orthodoxy.
I love that. I've never heard it put that way.
That's
brilliant. I love that. That's such a great quote. Jack is listening in northern New Mexico. He wants to join the conversation. Jack, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Farnan.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Jack.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. Hey, just two things. One, there's a guy named McWhorter who writes on the critical race theory, and he's a black guy, very articulate, maybe in Columbia or Princeton, and he calls it neo-racism, and that's a great name for it. Aside from that, Loudoun County, there's a whole lot of construction. My daughter lives there. I've got two grandkids there, and there's a whole lot of construction going on in Loudoun County, and it is not as rich as it used to be. There's a lot of condominium and you know, down-to-earth, middle-class folks there. And my daughter and her family are kind of fit in that category. And we've told them, we exchange information with it. We read in the news. And we told them, look, we'll pull together the money to send your kids to a private school. If you find one that you respect, we'll cover it. Don't send them to these public schools there. And you know, it's just, it's pretty insidious. That's all my comments.
God bless you. That is what I think we have to take it seriously. Yeah. I've got grandkids now. You know, we have to take seriously that this is a heavy lift for young families. Yeah. And whether it's schools or you know, you're wealthy, you've got some money, look to support these schools. Catholic schools, definitely. Any listeners here know, if you've heard me in the past, I am a huge proponent of it, because the Catholic faith provides systematic grounding in faith and reason and a vision of the person that is going to be sufficient to help our kids resist this culture. Yeah. And so, but if you're an evangelical listening to this, if you're, you know, somebody who's from a Protestant church or a Mormon church, you've got to help people figure out a way to get out of these schools. And then but it doesn't mean you abandon your responsibility to them. We still need to oppose it, but we got to make sure our kids are not sucked in by this.
I love the vision, Jack, that you have, brother, because you're willing to sacrifice to make sure that those children are protected, and I think that's noble. And I think a lot of parents who are listening right now, you may want to do the same thing. If this is being taught in those schools, I'd get my kids out as soon as I possibly can. I've got to take a short pause here. When we come back, we'll talk more, take a few more calls. Mike in Chicago, you're on deck. I only have a few minutes left with Dr. Teresa Farnan. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. We're talking today about the infiltration into the classroom, some very vile, very objectionable content being taught your kids under the guise of literature, and it's done a lot of times without, you know, parents even knowing. There's a book out you may want to check out. It's called Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Kids from Public Schools Before It's Too Late. Dr. Farnan was one of the co-authors of that. And when we come back, I'll also get you plugged into this website I think will be a benefit to you. It's called the Person and Identity Project. The website is personandidentity.com. Stay with me, though. Our conversation continues. We'd love to hear from you. Be right back.
Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your Catholic voice lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. I am delighted to be here with you today. If you're just tuning in, we're taking a look at what's being taught in our schools, not just higher levels of education, but K-12. And some of it in no way should be taught to your children. A lot of parents aren't aware of it. There are some parents that are very up in arms over it. There was a case in Loudoun County, Virginia, where parents took the school board to task. You know, they're banning Mark Twain, To Kill a Mockingbird, and classic literature, too. In fact, I heard a story about a professor who was at St. John's University and was fired for reading a passage. It contained the N-word from Twain's anti-slavery novel, Pudd'nhead Wilson. She was fired for her literature. You know, she was fired for that, but we can read things that are absolutely vile to our kids, so vile I can't even share them on the air. We've got critical race being taught. Look, Americans overwhelmingly reject this woke race gender policy that is infiltrating our schools and indoctrinating our kids. What can be done? One of the things we want to look at today, and I invited Dr. Teresa Farnan to join us. She's written a book, and you might want to check it out. It's about, you know, getting your kids out of school. And it goes by that title, actually. It's really easy to remember. Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Children from Public Schools Before It's Too Late. We'll talk about Catholic schools, too, coming up here. But she also is the founder of the Person and Identity Project, and we'll get you plugged into that, too. Mike is listening in Chicago. Mike, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Teresa Farnan.
Thanks, Drew. Great show, as usual. Hey, this has gone even further. I was told not too long ago that a high school near me, that during a health class that special needs children attend health classes as well, the school nurse actually asked these children if they identify as boys or girls.
Wow.
Now, these are children who have who are mentally handicapped in some ways, physically handicapped in some ways, and these sick, evil people are asking these children, these innocent children, whether they identify as a boy or a girl. If I were one of their parents, I would go out of my mind.
Wow.
This is evil, intrinsic evil is what this is. And it has to be called out for what it is.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I can't agree with you. I agree with you so much. I can't agree with you anymore. In fact, you sort of got me a little revved up. When we were doing research on the book, this is personal for me. I have a little one with Down syndrome who has very limited verbal ability. So where she goes to school is going to always be very, very important because she cannot come home and tell me what she's learning, right? Yeah. So when you say if you were a parent, you'd be outraged. Some of these kids can't communicate to this to their parents. But when we were looking at this, when we were doing the research for our book, again, I was going through these different curricula, and in the Seattle curriculum, the Flash curriculum for Seattle has a module for people with special needs where they run them through gender ideology, right? So how does that work? My daughter with Down syndrome, who has limited verbal abilities, is being taught simultaneously that she needs to be careful and keep herself safe, but then she's taught that it's okay to have men in the men's room or in her bathroom and in the women's room, right? So, and then they're taught that the trusted resource for matters of human sexuality in this Flash curriculum, one of their trusted resources is Planned Parenthood, and that's given to these kids. Yeah, no, this is an attack on some of the most vulnerable and innocent people in our society, and I'm outraged. When I think about it, I get so upset. But you're right. It is, it's not just the kids in the typical classes. It is permeating this curriculum.
Yeah,
it's permeating.
You're so right. Here's the thing, though. I think a lot of educators, a lot of elected leaders, they have good intentions. I mean, they believe deeply that they're part of, a necessary, maybe a long overdue movement to teach racial literacy and to be socially just and have equity and equality and anti-racism. That's all good. I mean, it's very virtuous, you know. It sounds great on the face. But what's happening in these schools, these teachers are teaching children race essentialism. They reduce them to identity groups. They put them in these box labels. You're an oppressor or you're oppressed, you know. And I think what happens is, and I think we're going to see this play out in the months, maybe the years ahead, there's going to be emotional and psychological harm that comes from this. Is there any concern, any studies that have been done on the impact of this on our young kids whose minds are so malleable, so formable at that age?
Yeah, I mean, to do any study or research on this, you would have to accept the premise that it might be harmful. And unfortunately, our medical community has never accepted that. But I think all you have to do is look at the levels of anxiety rising, at some of the behaviors, look at the erosion of faith among kids, look at the fact that we have the generations of millennials are and Generation Z are reluctant to embrace marriage. And you can already see that this has had an effect. This has had an effect on how our kids think. But just to be fair to people who work and teach in the public schools,
right,
I do want to point out that public school curricula is not simply left up to the teachers, but that there is a whole industry, and it is an industry that is dominated by progressive interests, and they are the ones who are writing the curricula. They are the ones who are composing training modules for teachers, for students, for staff. I mean, this is it's so much bigger. This is no longer a situation where your average teacher comes out of teaching college and then they can set their curriculum. They're being handed packages. They're being handed resources. They're being made to go through these training modules. They themselves are coming out of these teachers' colleges that have been infused with and permeated with this, and they can't say anything because they will lose their jobs. So, I want to make sure that we're clear about this, that it isn't necessarily the individual teachers who are doing it, although you can get some, like the teacher on Tucker Carlson, but that is, it is a gigantic industry, and that's part of the problem, though, because it isn't a matter of just going to the school board and saying, you've got a rogue teacher who's doing this. The curriculum is ordered towards
that. No, it's so true. So just to be fair, too, I mean, it's not like, I was educated in Catholic schools, and I loved my grade school education, my high school education. It was, I was taught by everyone from nuns to well-formed, Catholic laity in K through 12 there. But you know what? There are some Catholic schools, as particular the higher levels of education, like Catholicologists, that are soft. So, you know, what can parents do on those institutions that are a little bit wobbly, maybe a little soft in terms of what they are teaching or how they are representing the truth of our faith?
Yeah, great question. And one of the objections I get when I speak to groups of parents and I give my, standard plug for Catholic education, you know, inevitably I'll get a parent who will say, you know, but I knew somebody whose child went to a Catholic school and then they ended up losing their faith. And my response to that is, you know, at the end of the day, if you put your kids in a public school, you have relinquished them. You have relinquished them to the state. If you put your child in a Catholic school or in a Christian school or as any school that recognizes the parents as the primary educators, you've got a chance to influence the curriculum. Right? So you can go in and you can say to the principal, you can go to the bishop, you can go to the superintendent of education. And I really encourage parents, if there's something in your child's Catholic school that you think could be better, to really, really cultivate your relationships with the school, get in there, volunteer, make friends, build those relationships, because it's been so helpful in terms of just you know, trying to create a strong school community to have groups of parents who befriend these teachers and befriend the principals and who demonstrate that they're there to support, not to criticize, but also that what they want is they want an authentic Catholic education. And you'll see, like, the whole school gets lit on fire with this desire to grow deeper in the faith, right? So you can have a powerful effect on that Catholic school. But again, you send your kids to a public school, you're marginalized. You're the outsider, as that Twitter thread illustrated. And they use that term. They call parents outsiders.
Well, Doctor, I got to leave it there. We didn't get to your website. Please do yourself a favor if you're listening. Check out this website, okay? You can find it online. It's called personandidentity.com. Personandidentity.com. A tremendous resource for you, addressing a lot of these issues. Have a great day.